Good morning and welcome to Manna. This is Pastor Ron here at Lighthouse with our daily devotion on Mondays. Typically, we're going through the book of Proverbs, in particular, Proverbs chapter 27. But today, we're going to do a little bit of a one-off, is what we like to refer to that. And what I want to do is I want to do a one-off on worship God only. So let's pray and then we'll jump right in. Father, you're so good. Today, we're on the heels of the celebration of the resurrection of our mighty God who conquered sin and death, that we're no longer bound by those things, Lord. We are captives that have been set free. And so, Lord, I rejoice in the blessing of being able to share today, and I pray that you would minister to each heart, to each person that listens in, that they would know that you have drawn them, that it's your purpose, and that you want to speak to them. And so I pray that that's exactly what you do for all of us, because you know our needs, and you meet us right where we are. That's the love that the God of all creation has for us. What a gracious God you are. And so we look forward to time with you today. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I said, and as we know, today's Monday, after the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, obviously, many parts to that whole dynamic of Christ saying, I want the world to know, take a look, examine me. I am putting myself on display for you to determine, am I who I say I am? Because I'm claiming to be God. So, what happens? We think back over a week ago, Palm Sunday, and what was the cry of the people? Hosanna to the Son of David, a descendant from David, from the tribe of Judah. Oh, is fulfilling those prophecies. And of course, the Pharisees not liking that whatsoever, and they came up to shush him. Shush your disciples is what they said, demanding that they would that he would silence this crowd and the things that they're saying, because they're saying, glory be to the Son of David, not to them. And they thought it was blasphemous. And of course, Jesus' response was, well, if they're silent, then the rocks will cry out. And can I tell you today that the rocks literally cry out from the nation of Israel that Jesus is Messiah. So anyway, as they go through that, the purpose of that week was God putting himself on display as being the perfect lamb to be examined. And then, of course, the Last Supper and the foot washing that Jesus would do with his disciples, and Judas's betrayal, the mock trials, the false judgment, men manipulating men, the brutality of the beatings that Jesus took, the scourging, and of course, the crucifixion, the torture of the crucifixion as just a shred of a body that he had. But yet the promise to a thief that was hanging on the cross, and the fact that, wait a minute, there was something powerful that took place. There was darkness all over the land from noon until 3 p.m. And then, of course, Jesus's amazing proclamation at the end of the judgment of God upon the Lamb of God for our benefit. He was our advocate, but he wasn't just one who spoke on our behalf. No, he took our place. So the proclamation from Jesus was, it is finished. And then he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. So he gives up his life. It wasn't taken from him. He gives it up. And of course, that's when the earthquake takes place, and the curtain that surrounded the holies of holies, which is the Ark of the Covenant that it could only be entered into one time a year, that curtain was torn from top to bottom. A beautiful picture that there was no longer anything that barred us from access to the righteous and holy God. But the picture for us to understand is that the veil had been torn. His body had been torn. That's what that speaks of for our benefit. It's by him that we have access to the righteous and holy God. And then, of course, his death and burial, the profoundness of in particular, Zacchaeus, who comes, not Zacchaeus, Nicodemus, please forgive me, but who comes with myrrh and incense, over 100 pounds, putting his life on display, that's saying, I'm putting my faith in this guy, even though he's dead. I don't know the whole, but I believe him. Wow. I trust him. I'm giving my life, my position, everything over because I'm putting my faith in him. What a message his life says to us. And then, of course, the resurrection, the first day of the week on Sunday. And the tomb was empty. And, of course, the excitement and the anticipation. And then, of course, the two that were on the road to Emmaus who Jesus met up with. And he explains everything to them because it's like, I'm not getting it, you know. And that's the way a lot of people are. It's like, I don't get this. But slow down, take a look, examine, consider. What is God saying to us? What's his message to us? So that's what I want to point to. And it seems a little strange, but trust me, as we go on this little road, our own little road to Emmaus, but it's our road to Revelation, the understanding. Okay, as we're actually going to go to Revelation chapter 19, beginning verse 9, it says, As John has this vision, this angel has him in the heavenlies and disclosing all these things that are going to take place at the end times. And he says, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. John writes, then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, so the angel says to John, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. He points it right back to Jesus. And then he says two words, worship God. It's all about the testimony of Jesus. And what is it that we are to do? Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the spirit of prophecy says, I'm going to tell you the future before it happens, so that you might understand when it does happen, truth for you to have confidence about a future that you are headed towards. So there we have it. We have this amazing moment for John, but yet why Jesus? Well, God says clear back in Exodus that there's Moses and he's getting the Ten Commandments from God. And it says, I am the Lord your God, verse 2, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is Exodus 20, verse 2, now 3. You shall have no other gods before me, little g. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth, you shall not bow down to them or serve them. So that's exactly what happened. John was bowing down to an angel, and the angel is rightly saying, knowing he's from heaven, knowing the dynamic of God and the worship of God, says, no, he corrects him, right? And so then the exciting thing for me is when we go to this passage in John, when Jesus has revealed himself to his disciples, all of them except for one guy. And this one guy's name is Thomas, right? We all know about Thomas, doubting Thomas. Well, let's read the story because it's really important for us to understand as we fit this whole thing together of worship God. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them. So this is John chapter 20, beginning verse 24. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with Jesus when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will not believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. So 8 days later, more than a week, eight, the number of new beginnings. Right? Although the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, peace be with you. That's Jesus's message. I bring peace, right? Then he said to Thomas, he singles out Thomas, the one who doesn't believe. He says, I want you to believe. And so he says to him, put your finger here and see my hands and put your hand and place it in my side. And do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered, here it is, my Lord and my God. And how did Jesus respond? Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." So Jesus doesn't correct him. Jesus doesn't refuse that worship. Jesus receives that worship because he is God. He is God who became a man. He had to identify with mankind, to live without sin, to be judged on our behalf, to die, to be raised again. All of those things, all of the dynamic, take a look at all of it. It all fits together to communicate a message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us to save us from a wrath to come, from a future to come, and to sanctify us by our blood. His blood. He's the one who sets us apart from that wrath. The wrath is as it's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. You see, there's no second chance in that regard. No, the chance is now. The time is now. The time is now to get right with Jesus, because death is on its way for all of us. But you see, there's one who conquered death, our greatest enemy, sin and death. Jesus did that. No other person did that. Don't believe in a man or a church or a prophet or anything like that. They're all liars, folks. No, the truth is the one who said, "Behold, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me." We have to put our trust in what Jesus did on the cross because it was finished. It was complete. So God bless you all. Thank you so much for allowing me to share with you Thomas's celebration. And may you be like Thomas, who believes. God bless you all. See you Monday.